Please join with me in turning to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. We're going to think through verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. God's word says this, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word tonight. Lord, it is a joy to gather together this evening, to be together with brothers and sisters, to sing praises from our hearts that celebrate who You are and the work that You have done in our lives, and to celebrate the promises of where we're all headed. We thank You, Lord, for the promise of our future, even as we heard tonight in the Scripture reading. And I pray that as we live our lives in this age, we would always keep our eyes fixed on Christ and our eyes fixed on our future. And in that way, be most useful to You in these days. We ask now, Father, that You would be at work in this next hour, that Your Spirit would work in our minds and hearts, teaching us, instructing us, correcting us, feeding our souls, encouraging us. I pray, even as we were reminded this morning, that these words would not be lost on us, not be stolen from us, but that they would take root in our hearts and the result would be much good fruit. We ask for these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 32 says again, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." One of the evidences of a culture in crisis, of a society that is headed downward, is there is a loss of respect for age. A loss of respect for the aged. A loss of respect for experience. The book of Isaiah gives voice to this as well in the third chapter, the first verse. The Bible says, "For behold, the Lord God of hosts is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and supply, all support of bread and all support of water, the mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor and the skillful magician and the expert in charms. And I will make boys their princes and infants shall rule over them. And the people will oppress one another, every one his fellow, and every one his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder, and the despised to the honorable." There is a picture of a people under the judgment of God. God takes away strength. And one of the ways that strength is taken away is the inversion of leadership. And one of the evidences that that has happened is that the younger generation is insolent toward the older generation, and people who ought to be honored are despised. Why does that happen? Why do we witness in cultures that are on the downgrade, why do we witness a loss of respect for age? One explanation may have to do with the breakdown of the family. After all, where do you learn these lessons? Where do you learn to respect older people? Isn't it in the home where God has designed that we learn these things? This is where we are taught to honor our parents, by our parents. This is where we're taught to honor our grandparents. This is where we are taught to be respectful toward older people. This is what our parents teach us. And so when there's the breakdown of the family and godliness is lacking in homes, there's going to be, resulting from that, a loss of respect for older people in general. It can also be explained in part by a loss of respectable behavior on the part of an older generation. Older people ought to be honored, but older people also ought to live honorable lives. And sometimes there's a breakdown in respect in a culture because older people aren't living like older people should live. And so instead of living venerable lives, instead of living lives that are worthy of respect, You have older people trying to live in the likeness of a misguided younger generation. And so that younger generation has no one to look to, no one as an example, and they don't see any real distinction between who they are and how they live and who the older generation is and how they are living. So a breakdown in terms of the family, a breakdown in terms of respectable behavior. But ultimately what's at the root of all of this is the absence of the fear of God. I mean, whether you're talking about failures on the part of the older generation, how do you explain that? The Lord is not being reverenced. Or you're talking about a breakdown in respect on the part of the younger generation, how do you explain this? God is not being revered. What we ought to desire is a life that is informed by the values taught in Scripture. And it is the fear of God that leads to godly attitudes on the part of individuals. It is the fear of God that results in godly homes. It is the fear of God that makes people desire to see all of life from the vantage point of God's Word. And when we see life from the vantage point of God's Word, we're going to recognize that verse 32 is to be submitted to. Verse 32 is to be obeyed. I wish we could say that this lack of respect for age and experience just existed outside the church. I wish we could look at our generation and say, you know, there's a lack of respect for age out there in the culture, but there's a great respect for older people in local churches. Unfortunately, I would have to say I don't think that would be accurate. I think we're living in a time when there seems to be a great confidence in youthfulness, and there seems to be a great disregard for the wisdom of older people. And so tonight, I just have it upon my heart that I want to remind us that verse 32 ends with, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. This is the Word of God. And what does this verse teach us? And we must hear it as God's people. We must believe it as God's people. We must submit to it as God's people. We must live it out. We must demonstrate our faith in what God tells us here in this 32nd verse. We're going to think about it tonight under three main headings. The first one is this. In verse 32, we see a people for special respect. A people for special respect, set apart by God to be respected. Verse 32 says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The people for special respect are the older people. They're described here as gray-headed. They are the aged. And that leads us to ask the question, why would God single out older people for special respect? Why would He do this? Let me mention a few reasons. First of all, because this people, older people, are people who are very oftentimes vulnerable. The older generation represents a people with special needs. One of the things that we see the Holy Spirit doing here in this 19th chapter is He's using phrases to tie earlier statements in this chapter together with later statements of truth in this chapter. So twice in this chapter you find these words, you shall fear your God. You see it twice. You shall fear your God. You see it in our verse, and you shall fear your God. Where else do you see it in this chapter? You see it back in verse 14. Look at the 14th verse of this 19th chapter. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. What do you know about the deaf and the blind? Well, they are vulnerable in a society. And the only reason why people who are not vulnerable would take special care of those who are most vulnerable is that they fear God. The only reason why the powerful would look out for those who have no power, the only reason why the strong would look out for those who are weak is because they fear the Lord. And here in our verse, we're being told to show respect for the gray head, to honor the face of an old man. Why? Because you fear God. One of the reasons for special respect is because they are in need of special care. Often the weaker, often the powerless, often the vulnerable in society. And this just happens sometimes by virtue of nature. I hate to admit this to my own shame, but how many times I've been behind a driver and said to myself, I bet they're old. Have you ever done that? And sadly, you pull up beside them and many times they are old. And they drive like they're old. Please, if I ever drive like I'm old, somebody love me enough, okay, to tell me. I don't want to be that guy that you're behind going, I bet he's old. Yeah, he is. Look at him. I heard a comedian this week talk about technology stragglers. And he talked about how older people don't know how to use debit cards. He talked about being in line behind this man who was taking his debit card and he was swiping it on the narrow side. You know, so you have the card, right? And then you have the narrow side. Instead of swiping the stripe, he's swiping it up and down. And the guy said, you know, it's never going to work that way. But then, thankfully, the comedian said, but you know, I'm going to be 85 years old one day. And I hope someone is going to be patient with me when that day arrives. The vulnerable. I still remember my grandmother believing in what she was seeing with these TV preachers and sending her money off to support these people who were talking about all these needs that they had. I talked to one gentleman this week whose grandmother, sitting on her coffee table, was a book full of heresy, but you know, the name Jesus is on it, and she loves Jesus and has served Jesus all of her life, and so she gets this book. Vulnerable people. And so we're to respect them, we're to care for them, because often they are weaker. That teaching is driven home in the New Testament, where godly people are taught to care for widows. If a widow is a widow indeed, if they have no one else to care for them and they meet the qualifications, the church is to care for widows. But if believing people have widows, they are to demonstrate their godliness by taking care of their mother or their mother-in-law. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household. Underscore this, because we're going to talk about this more in just a moment. And to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Are those not serious words? If you don't care for the widows in your family who are truly widows, what are you? You're worse than an unbeliever. So one reason why older people, verse 32, would be set apart for special respect is because they're often the vulnerable in society. A second reason is because this is a people with special strengths. Older people not only have special needs, they are people with special strengths. Now, you will not recognize this if you're a proud person. If you're a proud person, you probably think you don't have anything to learn from many people in general, but you especially may not think you have anything to learn from the older generation. But if you walk in humility, you're going to recognize this. When we think about the reference to gray hair, we think about another Old Testament verse that addresses age. Listen to Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Or as the New American Standard puts it, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. And that word for way is actually in the Hebrew text. So it's a road, it's a way, it's a pathway. It's found in a pathway of righteousness. It's generally true to say that foolish living cuts short the life. Godly living results in a person living out his or her life to the fullness of what God has ordained for a life. Those are in general terms. And we know it's not always true to say that someone who has gray hair, they found that gray hair, they experienced it in a righteous way of living. But when it is gained in a righteous way of living, then that gray hair is like a crown of glory. That gray hair then represents something, and it represents something beautiful. Because along that pathway, along that road of walking with God for all of those years, you have someone who has spent a lot of time in Scripture. You have someone who spent a lot of time in prayer. You have someone who's learned a lot of godly lessons along the way. They have been through troubles and tribulations and trials, and they've learned those lessons. And they've had their life shaped and molded by the hand of God through their circumstances. It's a crown of glory because it represents a character, a faithfulness that has been proven over time and through all sorts of situations and circumstances. In other words, there's a lot there for a younger person to learn from. They have a special strength in their arsenal. It's called wisdom. And when you think about our younger years, what words do you associate with youthfulness? I associate words like strength, courage. I think it's true, the older we get, the more cautious we become. And so when you're young, oftentimes there's this strength that's a part of your life. There's a courage that's a part of your life. But when you think about old saints, genuine children of God who've walked with Jesus for years, what strength do they have? They have the strength of wisdom. And that strength is to be valued, and that strength is to be remembered and respected and tapped into. With age often comes the recognition of character flaws that younger people need to work on and maybe they're not fully aware of. How many times as you've gotten older have you looked at a young person and you love them, you thank God for them, you see so many strengths in their lives, but you also see something that you're asking God for the open door to be able to share with them because you see something they need to work on. With age comes a wisdom about how to navigate difficult situations and sometimes how to apply God's word to those difficult situations because you've had to do it over and over and over again throughout life. With age comes a better understanding of what's really important. You know, when you're young, oftentimes something seems so important to you. It is so much on your mind. It is so much at the forefront of your priorities and the way you think about living your life every day. And then the older you get, the more you realize, you know, that really wasn't as important as I thought it was. I can still remember my mother talking about how, as she was younger, you know, the house always had to be perfect, perfectly in order. Everything picked up, everything in its place. And how often I've heard her talk about, as she's gotten older, how she wished she would have taken less time with that and more time in some other areas. You just begin to recognize what's really important and what isn't. This is the special strength that older people have if they've walked with Christ, that we can respect and pay attention to and learn from. So why special respect? Well, specially vulnerable in some cases, but special strengths. There's a third reason we might mention why the Lord would set these people apart, and that is, this is a people who have often made special contributions. They've already made an investment. In some cases with younger people, we're just getting started. We're just getting started serving the Lord. We're just getting started working in the Lord's church and ministering the Lord's word. The people who've come before us, those with gray hair, they've been doing this for a long time. Does that matter? Does it matter what's been invested in the past? For a proud generation, it doesn't matter. For a proud generation, all that matters is what is happening right now. All that matters is the moment. All that matters is today. All that matters is, what have you done for me lately? It's like an animalistic experience where only the strong survive. But godliness teaches us to remember. Godliness teaches us a holy kind of loyalty. We need to remember that our God is not bound by time the way we are. And so from the vantage point of God, those things that were invested over the years past are just as much before His sight as those things being invested right now. He doesn't forget them. He doesn't lose them. And one day all of that service that has gone on before us is going to be recognized and rewarded. If the Lord remembers these things, should not His people remember these things? In fact, earlier in this chapter, there's another verse that brings to us a word about respecting older people, but in a specific way. Look at the third verse of Leviticus chapter 19. It says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. The Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. Reiterated in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, to obey your parents, to honor your parents. That has to do with age, aged people, doesn't it? Our parents. And in Proverbs 23, verse 22, it says this, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. I wonder, why is the listening, why is the respect called for in that proverb, why is it reaching backward? Why is it looking back to earlier days? Listen to your father. Why? He gave you life. That takes you all the way back to the beginning. Do not despise your mother. Next words, when she is old. Our God knows our tendency to forget, doesn't he? Now our mother is old. There was a time when she was young. There was a time when she served you, when you couldn't take care of yourself. You wouldn't even have an existence if not for your father. Shouldn't that matter to you? Do you forget just because the years have passed? Well, that same kind of application should be made when it comes to older people in general. Where have they been? How have they served? What contributions could we easily forget if our memories were not jogged and fueled by the fear of God? What foundation has been provided by others that you and I are benefiting from right now? How much of your life, and you're completely unaware of this because you don't think about this, how much of what you're experiencing right now is based upon what someone else did before you? Should that matter to you? It should. So why a people set apart for special respect? Because they're now weak when once they were strong. They need our protection and our care and our love and our respect. But they also have special strengths, not to be underestimated, not to be neglected, not to be ignored. And they've gone before us and they've made an investment, and we should appreciate that and we should honor that and we should remember that. It shouldn't be lost on us. And these people still hold special roles in our lives. We're taught to honor our parents for a lifetime. Your father and your mother, as long as they're living, still your father and your mother. And your grandparents, what a special role they play in your life. And then the roles that people assume in the life of the church over years, ways that they've served that we ought to respect. I wonder, is this lost on our generation? Is this something really being magnified in today's churches? This kind of respect for those people, the gray head, the old man. Now, second thing we see in our verse. Not only do we see the people set apart for special respect, second, we see a picture of that special respect, or a picture, we could say, of sincere reverence. We're taught in this verse that it's more than an attitude that God is calling for. He's not just calling for an attitude. He's not just calling for us to be mindful of this. He's calling for us to manifest this. Because notice what he says. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor, get this, the face. So you're in his presence. The face of an old man. This respect is not just to be felt. This respect is to be demonstrated. We're called to behaviors that demonstrate an attitude of respect and honor. Rise up before the gray-headed, for the gray head. That is, stand up. You respect them by the recognition that you are in the presence of someone who is older than you. Now, the way that respect is manifested differs from culture to culture. But the point is that even in our behaviors, we reveal our respect for age and experience. For example, we ought to show respect by the way that we speak to older people. We could even say the way that we speak about older people. I've heard young people before say, "That old dude." And I want to say, "Where are your parents? Who taught you to speak like that?" I've heard in the day and age we're living in, younger people speak to older people just as if they are their peers, as if there is no distinction of age whatsoever. This is not just calling for an attitude of respect. This is calling for a demonstration of respect. How we speak to older people, how we speak about them, demonstrates our respect. The way we listen to older people. Do we pay attention to them? Does it matter to us what they think? Does it matter to us what they say? Do we give them that attention? Do we give them that respect? The way that we're sensitive to the concerns of older people. This to me is one of the ways that the younger generation has become insolent toward older people, especially in the life of the church. It just doesn't matter what older saints think anymore. What their concerns are. What might trouble them. What they might think is out of order. Well, don't you know, we're about a new time. We're about a new generation. You just need to get out of the way. Get with it. Catch up with the times. We just don't listen to their concerns. Do we pay attention to their counsel? When they seek to advise us, when they seek to make an investment in our lives, are we willing to listen? Do we defer to them? Do we defer in ways that just say to them, "I love you and I respect you"? Whether it's opening a door or it's giving up a seat on a bus or it's whatever it might be, paying for their dinner. Do we defer to older people? Do we show them respect? In that sense, do we rise up before the gray head? Next statement makes the same application. Honor the face of an old man. The word for honor there is a word that means to treat with distinction. I mean, we treat older people in a way that's distinct. Do you treat older people in any way different than you do your peers? Is your respect evident? And then notice what the Lord says here that's amazing. He says, "You shall stand up before the gray head, honor the face of an old man," and then he adds this statement, "and you shall fear your God." And you shall fear your... What an odd thing to tie together with those two statements. But do you know why it's tied together with those two statements? Because when we respect older people as God commands us to, we are showing respect for God, for His commandments, for His authority. Where's this coming from? This is coming from heaven. Who is informing this perspective? God is teaching us this perspective. So if I disregard it, if I ignore it, if I throw it away, if I act like it doesn't matter, who am I really disrespecting? Who am I refusing to reverence? It's not really the old man or the gray head. It's God. And so by honoring and respecting older people, I am fearing the Lord. It's the fear of God. It would cause the stronger to pay attention to the weaker. It would cause the less vulnerable to care for the most vulnerable. It's the fear of God. Andrew Bonar, 19th century Scottish preacher, had this to say, commenting on this verse. He said, "When you meet them in public places, or they come to where you are, show them reverence. Both the infirmity and the wisdom of the aged have a claim on us. And besides, age, apart from its qualities, has in it solemnity. By the sight of it, the Lord would solemnize us in the midst of our pursuits. Lo, the shadow of eternity. For one cometh who is almost already in eternity. His head and beard, white as snow, indicate his speedy appearance before the Ancient of Days, the hair of whose head is as pure wool. Every object, too, that is feeble seems to be recommended to our care by God, for these are types of the condition wherein He finds us when His grace comes to save. It is therefore exhibiting His grace in a shadow. When the helpless are relieved, the fatherless find mercy, Hosea 14:3, the orphans relieved, and the widow, Psalm 146 verse 9, and the stranger preserved, close quote. Bonar is saying that in the gray head, in the gray beard, we are brought face to face with the reality that we are speeding on toward eternity. And as we have opportunity to care for weaker people, it is symbolic, it is typical of the way that God's grace meets with us. Because God has cared for us in our weakness. God has saved us in our need. And now He gives us the opportunity to display that same kind of mercy and care and kindness to others. You can see why. It is great wickedness and a great sign of societal decay when that kind of response is lost. And now the young are insolent toward the older people. This leads to the third thing, last thing tonight. The perspective that will submit to this revelation. The people for special respect, picture we have of sincere reverence. And now we ask, who's going to listen to this? Who's going to submit to this? The answer is found in the last words of the verse. When the Lord says, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I'll tell you who's going to listen to this. The people for whom that name matters. Does God's authority matter to you? Do you love the Lord? Do you reverence Him? Do you fear Him? Because He's the one who's teaching you to live like this. This same truth, these same principles are to be lived out in the life of the church. Just one example, 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. See, in the life of the church, this is how we see people. We see a spiritual family. And older men are not to be sharply rebuked, but rather appealed to. Like you would your father. And older women are to be respected and loved like you would your mother. And then in a spirit of purity, we see brothers and sisters around us. In the people who are around our own age. This is a forgotten truth. This is an often ignored truth. Gray hair and the fear of God. And how the fear of God teaches us to relate to those who are older. So let me finish tonight by asking us a few questions. First of all, is it enough for you that God commands this? Does that settle it for you? God commands this. If we didn't have any reason, any reasonable argument to make, any logical reason for this command, is it enough when God says, I am Yahweh? This is what I want you to do. Second, I would ask you, do you recognize the way that wisdom and experience can benefit you? Or do you think you already know it all? Do you think experience can help you? Or do you think you've already experienced it all? Are you walking humbly before the Lord? Do you have a teachable heart? Third, I would ask you, do you think past investments and accomplishments are worthy to be remembered and honored? Or are they to be forgotten because they didn't happen today? The person doesn't have as much strength as they once did, so we can just forget all the ways they have faithfully served the Lord. Is that the right mindset? Or should we remember? And then I want to ask you, based upon what we've seen in this verse tonight, is there anything that needs to change right now in your life? In your attitudes, in your behaviors. I could ask the young people here tonight, are you honoring your parents? Do you honor your grandparents? Do you seek the counsel of your parents and grandparents as you ought? Do you listen to them as you ought? Do you submit to them? One of the reasons why this verse has been on my heart, told Josh this week, he was just asking, he says, why this verse? Well, I have a burden for what's happening in our families. Where is this taught? It's taught in the home. Young people, are you learning this? To respect older people? And then I want to ask us, the younger ones among us, how many older people do you have in your life? One of the real points of burden for my heart is to watch young people who only hang out with young people. I'm thankful we have a young church, and I think we do have a young church. We've got people getting married around here like crazy. It's in the water. And then babies follow, and all that's a great joy. Keeps the church young, doesn't it? Thankful for a young generation. But then I would ask you, young people, I'm talking now to young marrieds. How many older people do you have in your life? And if you don't have them in your life, why don't you have them in your life? How many older people's counsel and influence are you seeking? And can I just say, this is something as a church family we have to be intentional about. If we as older people only want to hang out with older people, how are we going to have any influence? And if we as younger people only want to hang out with younger people, how are you going to learn anything from the older generation? If we are a family, if this is the family of God, aren't you grateful for multiple generations, multi-generations, that we can experience the youthful zeal and strength and courage? When we get older, we don't lose that sense of adventure, you know, risk-taking. For the sake of the kingdom of God, we can benefit from younger people. At the same time, they can benefit from wisdom and experience. Isn't that how the church is to be? So how many older people do you have in your life? And how many younger people do you have in your life? To the older people, I would ask you, do you recognize the responsibility that we have to live in a way that's dignified? Worthy of respect? Can someone really follow your example? If they follow your example, church attendance, service, sharing the gospel, studying the Bible, praying, loving your spouse, investing in your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives, if they follow your example, is it going to be a good one? Do they see in us real reverence for God? Our verse ends with, I am Yahweh. We talked earlier about the repeated phrases that are meant to tie earlier truths together with later ones. Do you know where we find this statement earlier? I am Yahweh. Well, look back at verse 29. Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. That speaks to older people, doesn't it? You live in a holy way when it comes to your family life, when it comes to what you would do with your children. You keep the Lord's Sabbath. You reverence His sanctuary. You live a life that is worthy of respect and worthy of imitation. And so my prayer for you, for me, for our church, is that this would be a place where older people are respected and honored, where experience matters, where we don't forget what's gone before us, and where those older people are a shining example of zeal for Jesus, love for the Word of God, desire to do ministry, ready to serve, not thinking to oneself, you know, I put in my time. It's retirement time now. Listen, there is no retirement time till we see our Savior face to face. There is no retirement point. Live for Christ with all your strength until you meet Him face to face. But at the same time, I pray for a church where younger people say, you know what, I want to learn from them. And so we mix and we mingle and we spend time together and we learn from each other. That's God's design for His church. And may the Lord produce that here. May it start in our homes and may it flood our church life. And the church would say, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you and thank you that this is your design. You have spoken and we have heard you. I pray that we would take these things into our hearts. I pray, Lord, where we have perhaps been influenced by a culture that's on the downgrade, where older people are living in disrespecting ways and younger people are insolent toward the older. Lord, I pray that we, your church, would not be like that. But here your word matters, and here we honor you by honoring the gray hair and honoring the aged. And here older people don't dismiss their responsibility to be examples and models and teachers. But here would be a place where the younger benefit from the older and the older benefit from the younger. You alone, Lord, can accomplish this, and we ask you for this. And we will thank you for this. In the name of our Savior, the one who died for our sins, whose blood washes away our sins, the one who has made us right with you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.